Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, January 18th. I'm a day early. January 17th, 2018. And welcome to Just Us Talks with Tisha. I am your host, Tisha Hillman. We are here every Wednesday at 10 o'clock when I don't have to be in court. But every Wednesday that I can be at 10 o'clock from 10 to 10:30, bringing all the information that you need about all things law, politics, justice, equality, and just random crazy stuff that I want to talk about on a particular day that just has kind of, as Peter Griffith would say, that has kind of either gotten my goat or that has just ruffled my feathers. And that just made me really quick forget the Peter Griffith. You guys watch Family Guy, you know exactly. Grinds my gears. Grinds my gears. But anyway, folks, there are a lot of things that grind my gears if you haven't listened to the show before. And most of those things are related to inequality, just racism, and just all-out hatred and evil. Because as human beings, you know, we deserve to be treated as such. And so, folks, those are the types of things that we talk about on this show. And I know sometimes people may forget that I'm actually an attorney. And so I do talk about legal issues that are intertwined within the things that we talk about on this show. And there are always legal implications and ramifications and the things that happen in our culture and in our country. And so it's always important, folks, to stay updated on what's going on in your community, in your local, and all of these things, because they do impact your daily life, whether or not you believe it or actually see it. But these things do impact your life. So today, folks, if you have been paying attention, and I laugh because every single week, I start this show talking about something that has happened with this administration and this president. But every week, I'm telling you, folks, they keep it going. So there's always interesting fodder for the people from this administration. And so if you have been paying attention, last week about Haitians, about Africans and African countries, El Salvadorian, that were just vile and bigoted. And, you know, what this president said specifically was that these countries, he described these countries, Haiti, African countries, the country of whatever in the on the continent of Africa, as shitholes. And, he had talked before, and we talked about it on the show where, he referenced Nigerians and Nigerians not wanting to return to their huts and how all Haitians have AIDS and things like that. And, you know, I don't know if you guys got a chance to listen, but New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, who I am very, very fond of, I've been following his career for quite some time, even before he became a senator. And he's just an impressive person because he really cares about the community in which he lives. And so he gave a very impassioned speech before the Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, where they were talking to one of the people from this administration. I want to say it was the Secretary of she's a new lady, which is interesting because I've never heard of her or seen her before. But, you know, these people in this administration, they change seemingly every day. But I can't remember her name. but it was a speech that he gave on this, on, you know, on this, in this particular committee, and he was referencing how when they were questioning this particular person from the administration about the president's comments on the whole, you know, the debacle that happened last week with reference to the country, there were several people that said that they did not remember what the president had said, even though they were sitting in the room with him. Several people said they did not remember when asked about it. And so Cory Booker, when he was talking to this particular representative, he gave an 8-minute impassioned speech where he quoted Elie Wiesel, he quoted Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he talked about willful ignorance and turning a blind eye, essentially, to injustices and being silent when it comes to injustices. And I thought that was so important because one of the things that has happened a lot in the last, say, 18 months or so, since the 2016 election, and, you know, with the inauguration of this president and this administration being put into place, the amount of race-related and religion-related, specifically attacks on Muslims, which we talk about a lot on the show, those instances have gone up exponentially. And as a matter of fact, one of the statistics that Senator Booker referenced was 73%. And he stated that 73% of race-related and, you know, quote-unquote, terror-related incidents that have taken place since 2001 were committed by white people attacking either black people or brown people or Muslim people because either of their skin color or their religion. And I thought that was very important because it's something that in this country we don't really address. And that's the issue of attacks on people of color, which happens very, very, very often. And it happens more than the so-called terror attacks of, you know, Muslims and things like that. And so, you know, what Senator Booker said and did was not only a very powerful speech that he gave, but the information that he put out there was so important because he talked about the office of the presidency and the words of the president sort of not, you know, evaporating into air, but, you know, when the president, you know, does things like refer to minority countries as shitholes, that those words kind of fester. And then what transpires is you have hateful and bigoted people that take action and that treat those words as gospel, and they act on those words. And so, folks, if you've ever listened to my show, you know that I talk a lot about this. And the reason I do, even though, you know, I am a Maryland-based attorney and I practice in family law and criminal law and personal injury, the fact that we are in a climate right now racially in this country that's so divisive, I always feel the need to talk about these issues because if I have a platform and I can use that platform not only to call out these issues but to educate people on the things that they can do not only in their communities but in their very lives to make a difference on these issues, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. And folks, remember, as I always say, these things are always intertwined. The law is always intertwined with these issues. And so one of the things that is an issue with this president's speech outside of being vile and hateful is whether or not the president is fit to lead this nation. And these are some of the questions that kind of come up as constitutional scholars talk about all of the issues and all of the things that ail and plague this administration, from incompetence to instability to, you know, just being all out evil, for lack of a better word. And so it's something that, folks, you got to pay attention to these things, because as we are dealing with unprecedented times in our country, because I personally have never seen a president nor an administration like this ever in my four decades on this earth. I've never seen it. I've never seen some of the constitutional questions that have arisen as a result of the election of this president. And so, folks, it's important that you pay attention. And as I always state, it's important to vote, to make sure that you know the candidates that you are voting for, because the laws are impacted, the policies that are implemented are impacted, and people's lives are impacted. And one of the other things that I wanted to talk about was DACA. I mean, there's so many things on the horizon right now in this country that we really need to address. DACA. And, you know, as you may know, I don't know the latest, because it keeps, you know, they keep going back and forth with the conversation on DACA. But one of the important things is essentially you have young people that came to this country at very young ages, brought here through no fault of their own, you know, from their various countries by their parents, you know, maybe at infancy or whatever. But essentially, they were not born here. They were born in other countries. They were brought here by their parents. And now their ability to stay here is on the chopping block. And we'll talk about that and my reasons that I believe that is. In just a second. Essentially, it's on the chopping block. And what this president has decided that is, if the Democrats want to have a conversation about these roughly 800,000 young people remaining in the country, then he will only have the conversation if what is also on the table is money to build the wall. And so he is using the very livelihood of these young people whose lives were impacted, again, through no fault of their own. He's using these people as a pawn for hatred, good wall that is not going to have the impact that he thinks it's going to have, but it is a way to satisfy a campaign promise and appease his base. And so he has the livelihoods of these young people hanging in the balance, because basically if the Democrats want to have any conversation about keeping these young people in the country, then they also have to be willing to have a conversation about building a wall. And the funny thing about this wall, folks, is if you remember from the campaign, I believe the words were, and Mexico is going to pay for the wall. I guarantee you, I promise, Mexico is going to pay for the wall. And the fact that Mexico has come out repeatedly and said, we're not going to pay for your wall, and you can't make another country pay for a wall. But again, it's about filling a campaign promise. And it's also, folks, because I believe in keeping it 100% honest on my show, is, it's about the browning of America. That's what this is all. That's what this all boils down to. Because I don't know if any of you saw the story, and I forgot what they call it, but basically you have these Russian women, they're pregnant, but they want to come to the United States to have birth, called. Birth tourism or something weird like that. But you have these women that want to come here so that their babies can be citizens. So now think about that for a second, folks. And in the president's comments, when he made, and I forgot to mention the most vile part, is that the president stated when he made the comments about Haiti and about African countries, you know, he stated, why don't we have more people here? Do we really need more people from shithole countries coming to the country? Why don't we get more people from Norway? And if you guys know anything about Norway, you have never met a black Norwegian because they don't exist. And so everybody in Norway is white. And, of course, everybody in Haiti is black. And 99% of the people in Africa, various African countries, the continent collectively, are black and brown, with the exception of South Africa, where you have white folks in South Africa. But nevertheless, he's saying, you know, why do we need more black people, more brown people? Bring the white folks, the very, very white folks, you know, the Nordic white folks. Bring those people. And so there's been zero conversation about this birth tourism idea. But I guarantee you, if people from Ghana wanted to get pregnant and come here, and they put it all on social media that this is what they were going to do, and there was all kinds of stories on the news about these about birth tourism, and the people were coming from predominantly black countries wanting to have their babies here so their babies can be citizens, there would absolutely be an uproar. Absolutely. But there has not been one, because the issue, folks, is not about immigration. And it's foolhardy to ever think that the issue actually is about immigration. Just think about it. When people talk about the folks that are stealing our country, they're not talking about the people that come here that work as scientists and engineers. They're talking about the people that come here from predominantly Hispanic countries where people are working as factory workers and migrant workers and basically low-skilled jobs that, mind you, folks, I've never seen a white migrant worker. Never, never, never. I don't see white domestic workers. I don't see it. And if I do, in terms of the domestic workers, it's not very common. And so we're talking about these low-skilled jobs that most white folks are not taking anyway. Most Americans are not taking these jobs. And so we're really trying to, and when I say we, I really mean the people that are touting this this information that is not true at all. But it helps to have the appearance of it being about a real political issue or a policy issue as opposed to really what it's about, which is racism. And so it's about the browning of America and the fear that people have put out there, people like Fox News and Breitbart and all of these right-wing conservative outlets have put out there about this so-called white genocide, to basically that the liberals and Democrats are trying to rid the country of white folks. And so that's what this is about, folks. It's about the browning of America and the fear that people have of the browning of America. So when you hear people talk about immigration, talk to them about birth tourism. Talk to them about that issue and see what they have to say, what their position is. Because I guarantee you, because I've read Bastion of Evil, so the comment sections are absolutely awful. But if you read some of the comment sections on birth tourism, as it pertains to people coming from these Russian countries, people defend it. The same people who are against and fighting for stronger immigration policies and things like that, these very people have nothing to say or are defending birth tourism when it comes to Russian countries. So kind of put your mind around that, folks, right? And this show is really about telling the truth so that we can move forward. But if we don't address the truth of things, we're never going to move forward, you know, as a community, as a country, as a people in general. We're never going to move forward if we are too afraid to tell the truth, because silence is complicity. It absolutely is. And so it's important that we address what really is happening. And what really is happening is hatred and fear-mongering because of this so-called white genocide. And because of things like DACA and immigration, you have people being torn apart from their families. And I read this story. It's very, very heartbreaking. A man by the name of Jorge Garcia. Mr. Garcia is 39 years old, and he's been in this country is all that he knows, which is the case with most people that are here under the DACA order. But most of the people here, this country is all that they know, right? Because remember, they've come here from the time they were children. So Mr. Garcia, you know, has a family, a job, all this kind of stuff. But Mr. Garcia was or is about to be, or maybe he has been already, because it was in the works, being deported. So imagine you have a country, I mean, you have children that were born here, so they're American citizens, so they can stay here. But you are torn from your family, and you have to go back to your home country. But it's also a country that you don't know. And so, you know, that's one of the sad ramifications of DACA, is that you have these sort of situations where people are torn apart from their families and sent back to countries that they don't know. So the case of Jorge Garcia is not going to be an isolated incident. These are the types of things that are going to happen under the so-called immigration policy. But folks, pay attention. Pay attention to whether or not people are going to be stopped from coming here from predominantly white countries. Because even the president himself has stated, why not have more people from Norway? Why not have more very, 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 very white people come here and school from quote-unquote shithole countries that just happen to be predominantly black countries? And so, folks, those are the types of things that really grind my gears. Those are the things that really need to be discussed. And I know that they have been discussed ad nauseum. At least the president's comments have been discussed ad nauseum on various media platforms. But I like to approach things from a very different perspective, because I, on this show, approach things from a legal perspective, from a more micro level approach, in order to help my listeners and to help people to be able to do something in their individual communities. And so it's interesting that these comments were right on the heels of the Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday. And, you know, Dr. King being about nonviolence, being about progress, being about fighting oppression. It's very interesting that, you know, this administration would come out a few days later and do a rededication of the holiday, you know, because every so often the holiday, I guess, has to be reapproved. Another order, another executive order has to be done to maintain the holiday as a federal holiday. And so, you know, it's so interesting, folks. You know, this administration has really been a wealth of news information over the last year or so. But folks, what some of the things that you can do that I've talked about on the show before, are building minority communities. And when I say minority, I specifically mean Black, because the Black community has suffered so much under racism, under Jim Crow, under all of these things, under white supremacy, and these things linger, folks. It's not just a matter of, you know, it changing within a year or 2 years. These types of policies are still in place. Policies that promote the idea of white supremacy are still in place and still largely impact communities of color. And so, folks, patronize Black businesses. Buy from Black businesses. You know, hire Black lawyers. That was just my little plug. But, you know, really, patronize Black businesses. Patronize businesses that are going to give and be active in the Black community. Because one of the problems in the community is most of the business owners don't look like us. And so what happens is, you know, they make money in the community and they take that money out of the community. And so when it comes to building up the community, it doesn't really happen because the businesses are not owned by people in the community or people that care about the community. And so these are just some of the things that you can do, folks. You can volunteer at organizations that care about these issues. If these are the issues that you care about, donate your time, your money, whatever it takes to these sorts of organizations so that they can have the resources that they need to do the work if you don't have time to volunteer within these particular organizations. And folks, finally, make sure that you stay up on the information because laws change, policies change, and these things change every single day or, you know, they ever so often, right? And they impact your lives, not only just, you know, with the presidency and things on a federal level, but more specifically, the local elections and things in your community. All of these things are important to your everyday lives. So, folks, if you are going to be concerned about justice, about equality, about fairness, about immigration, stay up on the issues because they're changing constantly and they're very, very important. So, folks, thank you so much for always tuning in. Thank you for, you know, the people that share this show after the show. And thank you for your support over the last year that I've been doing the show. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, 10 o'clock, as we tackle more issues, we talk about more things that we're dealing with as a country. And also make sure that you follow us on Twitter and that you like us on Facebook, and the handle is TS Tillman Law. But in the meantime, folks, stay attuned to justice and the issues that that impact your community, because when it comes to justice, sometimes, folks, it is just us. Thanks so much.